Divine love is an area that every one of us needs to explore, some to a greater extent than others. Paul touched upon it. He wrote a marvelous letter about love, and they ended up by saying, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three." But the greatest of these is charity. Why they ever used the word charity when they meant love, I don't know, except that much of the world has gone past that without even realizing that love is the phrase that is being discussed here completely. Paul selected love as one of the greatest forces in the world. Perhaps it is still an overlooked force in our lives. I see many people who are barren, stagnant, and invariably they are without the capacity or the outlet for giving love. Something happens when love does not flow out of you. And it does not depend on being close to someone, having someone within the vicinity that you can give this love to. It depends on a state of consciousness. Now, as a channel, a window for Christ, you must recognize that unless love flows through you into the world, you are denying the presence of Christ. And when you are not letting love flow through you, it is because something is missing in your state of awareness. I think we can find that very easily. Paul also made the statement that love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, in a sense, that sounds like it might be a complete statement, but you have to analyze it to see that several things are missing. Number one is that Paul was not talking about human love. He was not saying human love is the fulfilling of the law. He was saying spiritual love is the fulfilling of the law. Or divine love is the fulfilling of the law. And what law was he talking about? He was saying that spiritual love fulfills divine law. And that completes the statement so that you can begin to work with it. Spiritual love is the fulfilling of divine law. Now let's look into the meaning of that. If you are to let spiritual love flow through you into the world, you must be spirit itself. It will not flow through a human being. All that will flow through a human being is human love. And so all the human love in the world that you pour out will not fulfill divine law. And that eliminates the mistake made by perhaps 95% of those who feel that if they love humanly, they are in some way fulfilling God's law. I know many people who have done that and have been amazed to find that their lives are still barren. They are so eager to give their love out to people, And sometimes no one wants it. And the reason is because they're not giving out spiritual love at all. Spiritual love is never rejected because it's never given openly. It's given silently and invisibly. And there's no power on earth that can reject it. And so now we find that if I wish to fulfill the law of God, I must be spirit so that I can be a channel for spiritual love. And that's an entirely different ballgame. We'll begin then with the knowledge that God is here, and God is love. And therefore, God's love is here. Right where you stand, God's love is. And that does not depend upon anything in this world. It doesn't matter if you're lying in a hospital bed. God's love is always present in a war, in a hospital ward, in any kind of disaster. Why is it not expressing? Because it can only express through the spirit of an individual. You are to be that channel. If you are not that channel, you will function without divine love. Although it's present, although it's right where you stand, and although you want it. And that is what makes life unfulfilling, frustrating, difficult, a struggle, and ultimately a failure. Because when you are not fulfilling divine law, you are violating it. So when Paul tells us that of all three, faith, hope, charity are wonderful, but the greatest is the charity. He's not speaking about that charity, that love, which has come to be known as a human sense of love. He's speaking about that force which our world has overlooked, a force that can feed the hungry and raise the dead. A force that can heal the sick. A force that was demonstrated by the Christ as the most powerful force on this earth. We are here now to bring that force out of its obscurity, out of its secret place, into this world of mankind. And each of us is to become a channel for divine love. If we are a channel for Christ. Christ's love in you is present now, awaiting release, not just to heal nations, but to bless all who walk this earth, even if they're still unborn. Christ's love, released through the Christ of you, is your mission. And if you've wondered what your mission is and thought you had none, you can no longer pretend to yourself that you have not been blessed with a mission. It has always been to release Christ's love into the world. And to do it, you must be that Christ. Now, many of our friends have come to us, and they have said, I don't know what's missing. I study hard. I know the letter. I do what I'm expected to do. But I don't feel the glory. I don't feel that transcendental presence. I don't feel that I'm making a contribution. Start now with love. Think about it. What kind of love have you been giving out to those around you? Think about the kind and quality of love that you have given to those whom you know. You have loved children. You have loved friends and relatives. How can you increase that love and change the quality of it? There's only one way, and that's to let God in you love the world through you. You've got to learn how to let I, in the midst of you, love the world. So let's take a specific case. Start with a child. A child that you dearly love. What is the nature of the love you are giving that child? A mother, a father. But where is God's love? Is God's love flowing through you? If so, it will be a different quality. It will not love the body of the child. It will not love the mind of the child. It will love the soul of the child. It will love the Christ identity of the child. It will love the spirit of the child. It will love the oneness of the child with infinity. It will give that child all the love that you are not equipped to give as a human being. And that means you have to learn how to love from your spiritual self in order to bless that child with divine love. That's a whole entirely, completely new way of looking at love. And it's the only way that you can take that child out of karma. Out of child diseases. Out of the growing up problems that every child goes through. You've got to give it divine love. And it is not done by turning to that child and saying, I love you. It isn't done by buying that child a Christmas present. That was in yesterday's consciousness. These things are fine. They simply are not sufficient. A child who does not become the recipient of divine love through your awareness is missing what a parent has to give a child. And so we can't go any further and allow that to happen, especially among students who are walking the path of truth. What kind of love do you give your mate, your husband, your wife? Is it the normal human love, physical love? Is it caring? Or is it the recognition of the one self? Is it God in you, flowing through you, blessing that mate? Another place where you must make the correction. And although you start at home, if you're not letting love flow out to all who walk the earth. Something in you is not alive. Not transmitting the nectar of divine love. Now, this eternal flame of divine love is all around us. We dig for gold, we explore the stratosphere, we work in laboratories, we develop industrial monoliths, and the resource, the universal resource of divine love, is not mined out of our own being. It lies there fallow while we stagnate, while we pray for it, while we seek it everywhere, while we turn to God and beg for it. And the Father has said, I have given it to you already. All my love is thine. But you have to be my son. You'll have to be my son to receive my love. There's no other way. John, whoever loves the Son hath the love of the Father. You are the Son, but not this physical self. You must love the spirit of your being. And when you love the spirit of your being, you love the Son, and then you have the love of the Father. How do you love the spirit of your being? You accept its presence. You live as that spirit. You reject all that is not that spirit. You look across the earth and you accept the spirit of mankind. You accept the universal spirit, the universal Son of God. You accept the spirit of your child, of your mate, of your relatives, of your employer, of your enemies. You accept the spirit of every terrorist in this universe, of every moron, of everyone with a mental disease. You unconditionally accept infinite spirit as the only reality present, and you talk to it. You bless it. You react to it. You turn a deaf ear to the world. You crucify all your reactions to that which is not the spirit. You sow only to the spiritual presence in everyone you know. You are accepting, honoring the Son. Only then, says John, only then does God love you. Until you accept the Son as the only presence on this earth, God does not love you. You live without the power of divine love. And this infinite resource, which liberates you from all that is unlike God, lies there, useless to you. While you pursue some human adventure which ultimates in nothing more than a temporary pleasure or a temporary failure. Love is the fulfilling of the law, and that must be divine love. And that divine love operates in you only when you honor the Son, only when you accept the infinite Christhood of all who walk this earth. It's a tall order. And so the world has walked by. Are we ready for it? Can we become channels for love? Can we accept and honor the presence of Christ in all we meet? Can we curtail that instant human reaction of judgment, which is judging the Christ, or fear, which fears the Christ, or hate, or prejudice, or guilt, or all these human negatives which deny that I am and you are the Christ? Can we become so watchful . Can we become so loving of God that we wish to honor the commandment of the Father that we love one another as the Father has loved us? Can we finally learn to really love God supremely by accepting the Son of God? Those who will, even when they fail, will succeed. Those who will put forth the effort to live in a spiritual universe, in a spiritual body, in the Christ mind, in the Christ identity, will be honoring the Son, and the love of God, which is omnipresent within them, will be released. And that love carries with it qualities that are not in the human love. Healing qualities, uplifting qualities, nourishing qualities, substance of God. When the love of God is flowing through you into the world, paradise is opening its gates to you. And eternal life is beckoning. John, the exponent of love, in the simplest words possible, says that if you love the Son, the love of God is within you. There's nothing simpler to understand. The rest is up to you. Now, I know that love is a difficult thing, except to a chosen few. We're not talking about that kind of love. And we're not talking about a love that's possessive. We're not talking about a love for just my own. We're not talking about a love that is selective and discriminating. We're talking about a love that falls on the just and the unjust, on the rich and the poor, on the healthy and the unhealthy, a love that falls on friend and foe, a love that looks through the illusion of the flesh, a love that loves God so supremely that it does not divide his garment. Who is worthy to open the book of life? Whoever can love without condition, without judgment, is worthy. If you could at this moment stop, look around this world, and begin to quietly, silently secretly, sacredly. Remove every prejudice you have about a good friend or a bad friend, about someone who did you an injustice, about someone who doesn't cater to your whims, or someone who doesn't do favors for you. All those little things, you know. If you could remove judgment from everyone you know and let that love flow, then the branches of your life would begin bearing new fruit, because I make all things new. I teach you a new way to love. I teach you to love divinely, productively, not with the mind, but with the soul. This love flowing through you with its magic celestial ingredients is more of the blood of Christ. We have overlooked Christ's love. We want it, but we have not learned how to earn it. Now, in a class like this, we see a lot of that love. It's so easy to love each other here, because we have nothing to fear from each other. We don't have to be cautious. We know we're all here to sip from the divine fountain. We trust each other, and we let the love flow, and we all feel it. I have felt it immeasurably these first few talks. The whole atmosphere has been energized by love. And then we go home. We go back into the same grooves. And we make that fatal error of, in some unsuspecting way, believing that divine love is not where my neighbor is, not where the person down the street is who lets its dog run on my lawn, not where the neighbor is who tells my children, keep away from my house, you make too much noise, and not where that other child from the neighbor roller skates across my pavement and wakes me up before I'm ready to wake up. All these things clutter up our lives. We jam the dikes. So although we are very capable of divine love with each other, let's retain that marvelous quality. Let's take it home with us. Sort of make it a project to see how well you can recognize the reality of everyone, knowing full well that when you do, you'll be permitting divine love automatically to bless them, and in doing so, to bless you. There's really no more worthwhile project, and none more necessary at this particular point in our study. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, it may not seem like a big thing, when you made a nasty remark about someone. But it's a giant thing. It sets you back possibly a lifetime. Because in that instant, divine love stops flowing in your life. He that knoweth not love knoweth not God. How can you live without God? This is almost like a commandment, isn't it? You must love. You cannot live without it. And you can love when you're in a room that's empty. And you must. This must become the core of your activity, loving. There's no time for frowns. And there's no time for commiserating. There's no time for worrying. You've got to love. You've got to move through all the clouds and loves until they dissolve. You've got to be so loving that people notice that you're loving. This will do you as much good or more, in fact, infinitely more, than going to the neighborhood reducing salon or to one of these places where you build muscles. The moment you do this, the moment you love spiritually, by recognizing spirit and not person, the God you don't know otherwise becomes the center of your life again. Now the stakes are very clear. John has this capacity to say it in such a way that Paul doesn't quite have that capacity, you know. Paul goes on and he's very inspirational. But John is earthy. There's no question about what he's saying. It's just that we never really knew what he was saying because we didn't understand that spiritual love is what he's talking about. I cannot love you spiritually if I am a human being. I can only give you human love. And you cannot love your neighbor spiritually as long as you're a human being. If you are an individual who someday will die, that makes you a mortal being. And no mortal being can love divinely. Therefore, to fulfill John's very simple statement, you have to accept and live in your immortal self. Quite a jump from such a simple statement. And the world has passed it by, totally. Even we have. When you accept immortal life, as we did the other day, and live with it, and accept it in everyone you know, without exception, divine love automatically courses through your consciousness, blessing that individual, and God becomes the center of your being, consciously. I hope some of you now are a little ahead of me and are beginning to find out where you can start doing this and how, and making plans to do it. I know when the prodigal son started home, it wasn't long before the father was there to greet him. And I know once you start thinking, how can I live my immortal life so that divine love can flow through me to everyone? When you start, the Father who seeth in secret will reward you. The Father will run forward and before you and open out a way. This is a turning point. It's like a rejuvenation. And I'm really very curious to discover if when you start to do this, you notice all kinds of beautiful improvements in many facets of your life. I expect you to see that. Surprising things. The pain in the back to go. The finances to change a little. The love of people to come to you. Peace within. Confidence within. The absence of fear within. No need to be anxious about anything. A sense of well-being. When love is flowing divinely, what can be wrong? It raises the dead, it heals the sick, it feeds the hungry. What can be wrong? It's the elixir of life. God loves us. That is why we are called sons of God. You don't have to earn God's love. The thief didn't have to do anything. You have to accept your identity, and the love that is there flows. It's easier than digging for oil. Accepting your identity is the secret of divine love flowing through you. Healing, rejuvenating, blessing. There is no physical illness possible when divine love is flowing through you. There's no death possible when divine love is flowing through you. The implications are momentous. God loves us. That is why we are called sons of God. You are the Son of God. God loves you. But God says, love me supremely, and my love, which is already in you, will flow forth into the world. The next move is yours. Beloved, let us love one another. Love is of God. And everyone who loveth is born of God, because God is love. It took that man almost a century to reach that simplicity. And it all came from the experience of what he was saying. That phrase that intrigues me is, everyone that loveth is born of God. Now you know what it means, because we may be the son of God, but our sonship lies dormant. Even though we desperately seek it to be active, it's dormant because we have not the consciousness to release it. But everyone that loveth is born of God. Now, I know some of you who are very loving, very loving. Are you born of God? Can you feel honestly within your heart that you are born of God? You are loving. There's no question about it. Why are you not totally born of God? You know the answer now. Too much human love. You are doing the loving. Divine love is not you doing the loving. Divine love is God doing the loving. God loves your neighbor. God loves your child. You are a transparency for divine love. You step aside by being what you really are, and then instead of a human loving that person, the love of God loves for you. And then you're really loving. And the mirage of loving and yet not receiving the love of God is removed. Now I say this because I know so many of you who truly are loving people, but are not getting the benefit of being born of God. Because you had not been conscious of the fact that your loving nature was still human. We've got to practice now how to love spiritually. I want to love you spiritually, and I want you to love me spiritually. And how are we going to go about it? It won't help for me to say that you're wearing a nice suit or dress, or that you're looking great. But if I start wanting to help you attain some degree of spirituality, and if you can look at me and look past certain physical factors and see something else there, if you can see an inner flame, if you can see a yearning to express the Word of God, and if I can look at you and appreciate your spiritual integrity, if I can see in you someone other than a man or woman, but rather a living spirit, I can love you with a greater degree of love than I could any other way. And if I have the spiritual awareness to see you as the image and likeness of God, then I am really loving you, not a false image. It's loving the reality that counts, not the love you think you're sending out, but loving the reality from your reality. And you are born of God. We're trying to leave out no little steps, no possibilities, so that you can overlook what must be done. Your reality must love the reality of the other individuals, plural, leaving none out. even the least of these, my brethren. But when you leave out the least of these, you do it unto Christ. I think this teaching is more direct now than it's been. Because literally the Spirit of God is talking to the spirit of you, awakening it, dissolving the cobwebs of mortality, getting right to the very substance of your being. No symbolism, no four-syllable words, just honest truth. You can make a career out of learning how to love.